Good evening and welcome to our Sunday night service here at Calvary Baptist Church. And thank you for tuning in this evening. I hope you had a wonderful Lord's Day so far. Had a great afternoon. We hope you have. And we're still rejoicing in the service we had this morning. Brother Snyder preached for us in the AM service, and he preached a message out of the book of Judges. And he talked about the honey in the carcass, and what a message that was. Just an encouraging message that we may experience some dread. We may experience some of the carcasses of the world, so to speak. But if we look hard enough, we'll find that there's some honey along the way. In the midst of life's troubles and trials, there is some honey in the carcass. And, of course, he was talking about Samson, and as Samson left Timnath, and he came upon a lion, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he rent that lion, killed that lion, rent him into pieces. And on his way back is when he discovered that honey, and what a blessing that was. We're rejoicing in the baptism of Jessica King this morning. And had a chance to speak with her after the service. And she feels good about how things went, and that she was able to get baptized, and having already professed Christ as her Savior. But just wanted to publicly demonstrate what took place on the inside. And we hope to see Jessica soon here at Calvary. And she says she's going to try to make plans on coming back very soon. And so we appreciate the Lord in what He did this morning. Hope everybody's doing great tonight. We are going to bow in just a few moments and go to the Lord in a word of prayer. And I believe Brother Randy has a song or instrumental, something or another he's going to share with us before I preach. And then I want to share something out of the Old Testament concerning David in just a few moments. And I hope that will be a help and a blessing to you as you start your brand new week. I do want to remind us all to just lift one another up in prayer each and every day. Pull up a list of our prayers, prayer requests on our bulletin, and that's on our Calvary page, www.calvaryministries.org. Click on the bulletin icon there, and you'll find a list all of our prayer requests. And so I just encourage you to help us pray for these folks, these dear folks of ours. Let's continue to remember again Brother Jim Daly, and with some breathing conditions and issues, Joanne Rich, grandson Bentley, and let's also remember Miss Shirley Townsend. I chatted by way of text message the other day, and she was having treatment on Friday, I believe it was, for the cancer spot she has on her lung, but she's getting ready for radiation, I believe it is. And so we lift up Miss Shirley tonight, Shirley Townsend, a dear member of ours here at the church, in prayer. And we're praying for you, Miss Shirley. We love you, Brother James. Praying for Brother James as well, his breathing conditions. And also we're praying for Brother Jeff Hodges, who had a kidney biopsy, and he was cleared of his right, and he has to schedule an appointment to go have the left checked out. So we are praying for Brother Jeff as well. Again, I want to say that we had a great night last night and our drive-in movie night here at the church, and all of our folks were excited that we're here. Thanks to you, to all of you who had a hand in that. We really appreciate that, Brother David Henderson, and the screen that he constructed, the Martins for pitching in with the sound system. Of course, Brother Randy and Brother Spencer as well had a big helping hand in that, and it was a huge success. And of course, we were safe and we were spread out, but we're going to do that again. Before it gets too cold outside, hopefully. And so we praise the Lord for that. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer, And again, church, briefly, right quick, just remember Christy's family, her side of the family. We went over this afternoon, spent some time with her grandmother and her mother, and everybody is doing okay at the moment. But I believe this coming up Saturday, we're going to have a memorial service for him. So just remember the family during the time of preparation for this memorial service. Let's pray tonight, and we'll get back to Brother Randy, and looking for a great service this evening. Father, we come in Jesus' name, and we're thankful for who you are and for what you do. Tonight, Lord, we just confess our faults. We confess our shortcomings, Lord, and we pray that you'll have mercy on us, make us fit for your use, and Father, we'll be thankful and grateful for that. But God, tonight we come before you also with thanksgiving for what you have done and what you're doing now and what you're going to do in our lives. But Father, we do ask prayer tonight through supplication, Lord, for Miss Shirley Townsend and the cancer treatments and the radiation, Lord, that she is going through and going to go through. We pray that your healing hand will be upon her during this time. Be with Brother James. God, be with the Dailies. Be with Brother Jim, Miss Dawn, the whole entire family concerning the things that they're going through. Brother Jim and his health. And Lord, we pray for Brother Jeff as he prepares for his next biopsy, that you'll touch him. Be with all of these on the prayer list tonight. We lift up the entire Calvary family and friends of the family. And Lord, we lift our world up to you tonight in its entirety, that you'll continue to orchestrate and be large and in charge of everything. And we pray for America. Oh God, you know our need here. We love you. We thank you. We praise you tonight. And we pray that you'll meet with us in a mighty way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Time won't matter.
Appreciate that, Brother Randy. For all of the saved, those that have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus, one day will enter into that sweet land. I want to say that heaven gained a precious, precious soul early this morning. And Gilbert Brown went home to be with the Lord, Christy's grandfather. And about 10 years ago, Christy and myself were called over. In fact, I was received a phone call from Eula Mae Brown, which Christy's grandmother, we call Grandma, said, "Papa wants to talk to you." So I heard those words, and I knew that he had something to say, or he was concerned about something. So we went over to the house, and he was sitting in the recliner, and he was telling me that he had been bothered about the idea of dying and not knowing Jesus. And he wanted to know that when he died, heaven would be his home. And really, for the better part of an hour, I sat there and went from Genesis to Revelation, making sure that he understood the concept of Jesus and the gospel. And about that time, Christy came in from work, met me at her grandmother's, and she said to her grandfather, she said, "Pawpaw, do you want to get saved?" And he said, "Yes, honey, I want to get saved." So I guess Pawpaw was in his early 70s, and he knelt in that little love seat there in the living room, and Christy and myself, we led him in the sinner's prayer, and he prayed after us. And to hear a man that was up in age and say those words and pray those words, such as, "Dear Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I know you died for me. Lord, I accept you into my heart to be my personal Savior right here and right now." To hear those words from him, I mean, it was a moment that we'll never forget. And at the conclusion of the prayer, of course, we said, "In Jesus' name we pray, amen." And he said, "In Jesus' name I pray, amen." And then he threw his head back and he went, oh, just like that. I thought the Lord took him right then and there. And all of a sudden he went, "Woo!" And he started shouting. And he got up and he said, "I'm just so proud." He kept on saying those words. "I'm just so proud. I'm just so proud." That was Papa's way of saying that I've been born again. And we know, listen, his life was changed. And Papa was always a loving, caring provider for his family and husband, grandfather, great-grandfather. But the Lord used him in his life for the last 10 years. And I want to say that heaven gained a precious, precious, precious soul. And we have that testimony tonight that we know where he's at. And we know that he is healed tonight. We know that Paul is with his son Larry in heaven. And how beautiful heaven must be tonight. How special heaven is this evening when you know that you have loved ones there. And I don't know about you or not, but this old world is like a wilderness. And I'm so tired of this world. I'm so tired of hearing about this pandemic and politics. I'm so tired myself of wrestling with the flesh and with the devil. And if the Lord would come back right now, I'd just lift my hands up and just welcome his return tonight, looking for the Lord Jesus Christ. My prayer would be that he'd come tonight. I welcome his coming. I know you would too. Just to think how close we are to heaven tonight, how far we've come in our own personal lives, what's on the other side waiting is so indescribable. we only know what in part what the Bible says about heaven. And in fact, Paul says, "Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, nor hath it entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love him." I'm glad tonight that I'm in that number. I'm glad on November 19th, 2002, that I asked the Lord Jesus Christ into my heart to be my Lord and Savior. And he came in and he took residence. And I'm not a perfect man. I've missed the mark. I miss it every day, but I'm not the man that I used to be. And I'm not the man that I'm going to be. And one day I will stand inside the gates of heaven, perfected because of the Christ that's in me and you as well this evening. How beautiful heaven must be. How beautiful heaven must be. I just wanted to testify for a minute and say that we love Gilbert Brown, Pawpaw. He will be missed but never forgotten. And I know that there are others that are watching that has sent those on to heaven. And I would just want to say that this isn't the end. This is just the beginning. And we'll see them in the morning in heaven's time. Well, praise the Lord tonight. We appreciate God and his presence. And thank you, Brother Randy, again for that sweet song. Sweet, sweet, sweet song. Tonight we're going to be for a few moments in the Old Testament book of 1 Samuel chapter number 20. 1 Samuel chapter number 20 for a few moments. And I want to bow for a word of prayer, and then we'll bring across our idea for the sermon, and then we'll mention a couple things. Father, we thank you for who you are and for what you do. Thank you for your goodness. I pray in the next few moments, you just allow us to portray the things you placed upon our heart for this evening's service. And I pray that someone would be helped that's watching. We love you. We're thankful for salvation. And because of that incorruptible seed, that deposit that was made on our individual salvation days, we will live forever. We love you, we thank you, we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. In the book of 1 Samuel, I want you to notice that nothing unusual, really, in the life of David. But David was on the run from Saul. And in chapter number 20, in verse number 1, we actually see that David in action. The Bible says, "And David fled from Nahoth into Ramah, and came and said before Jonathan, 'What have I done? What is mine iniquity? And what is my sin before thy father that he seeketh my life?'" It's not an unusual thing to hear David's heart, meaning that he's on the run from Saul, and how that Saul has been after him. We read about it in 1 Samuel, and of course in the book of Psalms, the book of poetry, we see David's heart open wide, and he talks about how that he was on the run from Saul and on the run from many other enemies, and how that God was his refuge. But I want you to notice in particularly that David was supposed to be at a certain dinner. In verse number 5 of 1 Samuel 20, "And David said unto Jonathan, 'Behold, tomorrow is the new moon, and I should not fail to sit with the king at meat. But let me go, that I may hide myself in the field unto the third day at even.'" And so we see that David was supposed to be at dinner. He was supposed to be in one of those seats at the table with King Saul and with his friend Jonathan and some others. But we know that David wasn't there. David and Jonathan actually came up and devised a plan. And so David would be hiding in the field. And if Saul was angry, if Saul was going to come after him, or however the dinner time setting went, based upon Saul and his reaction, Jonathan would send word to David in the field. So I want you to notice that David was supposed to be at dinner, but because he was on the run from Saul, he wasn't at dinner. And tonight, verse number 18 is going to be my text verse, where the Bible says, "Then Jonathan said to David, 'Tomorrow is the new moon, and thou shall be missed, because thy seat will be empty.'" Jonathan says to David, "David, I know that you are in a time in your life where you're scared and you're afraid. You've done nothing wrong, and you are at a place where you feel that Saul, in fact, Jonathan speaking, my dad, Saul, is going to kill you. You're not going to be at dinner on this occasion. And I want you to know, David, that I'm going to miss you, you being gone. And I'm going to look upon that seat and notice that seat is empty. And I'm going to miss you, David." He said, "You will be missed." Tonight, I want to take that thought and I want to share some things and really ask ourselves, why was David's seat empty? Try to draw some conclusions as to why David was not in that seat. And at the same time, my intent for this message is to encourage us, is for us to be able to understand with and to share in David's troubles concerning the night he wasn't at the dinner and his seat was empty. And so I hope the message will be a help and a blessing to you. David's empty seat is the title tonight. Few reasons why I believe his seat was empty. Number one, I believe the reason why David's seat was empty is because it had a lot to do with death. In the earlier parts of chapter number 20, we read a couple verses already, but David actually mentions, and in conversation with Jonathan, about death. In chapter number 20, I want you to notice in verse number 3, David's mention of death. "And David sware moreover and said, 'Thy father certainly knoweth that I have found grace in thine eyes. And he saith, let not Jonathan know this, lest he be grieved.'" Listen to this. "But truly as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, there is but a step between me and death." And so we see here tonight that David was at a place of fearing death. We know that he was on the run from Saul, and we know that Saul cast a javelin at David on one occasion and tried to pin him to the wall. And so as David is on his run from Saul, he's so closely connected with this idea of death and dying that David said, "Death could be my very next step. Saul is on the, he's coming after me. And there is but a step between me and death." And how true that statement is tonight. How true this verse is tonight, that all of us tonight are only one step between us and death. Let us be sure, let us tonight examine ourselves that we're in the faith, that we know Jesus as our personal Savior. Because once we take that last step, and only Jesus knows that step, once we take that last step, it is goodbye world and hello Maker, our Maker. Let us know for sure that we know Him in salvation tonight. And so David is concerned with this idea of death. I want you to notice something else. In chapter number 18, in verse number 11. Again, David on the run from Saul. But he says in verse number 11, the Bible says, "And Saul," and here it is, "cast the javelin." Imagine that. Being in a room with someone that doesn't like you. Being in a room with someone that hates you. And all of a sudden they're eyeing you like one of those hunting dogs. They're getting ready to go after that bird. And they grab a javelin and they throw it at you to kill you. And so this is the scenery that David is in. And the Bible says, and Saul cast the javelin. For he said, I will smite David even to the wall with it. He wanted to pin David to the wall. And David avoided out of his presence twice. So literally David is, he's in the presence of Saul, and here comes a javelin. He moves and it sticks to the wall. It's like a video game. It's like an army movie or something. And here comes again another javelin. He goes this way and it sticks to the wall. David is literally missing death at least twice in this account. And so he says there is but a step between me and death. So we see that Saul tried to pin him to the wall with a javelin. Chapter number 19, in verse number 11, we see this. Chapter 19, in verse number 11. Actually, that was the verse I wanted to read. But I want you to notice in verse number 20, chapter number 19, verse number 20, the Bible says, And Michelle, Saul's daughter, loved David, and they told Saul, and the thing pleased him. Continue reading. Verse number 25, jump down to verse number 25. This is Saul trying to put together a plan to kill David. Verse number 25, and Saul said, thus shall ye say to David, the king desireth not any dowry, but 100 foreskins of the Philistines to be avenged of the king's enemies. But Saul thought to make David fall by the hand of the Philistines. How about that? We're looking at David tonight, and the very fact that David was missing from his seat, and it had everything to do with death. David was dodging the javelin, at least on two occasions. And we see here that Saul was plotting with his daughter and all of these other things to get David pinned in order to take him out. I want to say tonight that one reason why this seat was empty was because of death. And how many times in life, we just got through mentioning it about Gilbert Brown, about how we're here at the holidays, and how that Thanksgiving and Christmas, and where he used to sit. In fact, we said it when we walked in, or actually when we left. Christy looked at me and she said, Brother Randy, she said, I miss Pawpaw in that chair. And I mean, although he is there and not here, he had a presence. We would go into the house and Grandma would greet us at the door every time. And then we would round the kitchen and go through the other side, and we'll look over there in that recliner and we'll see Pawpaw with a remote in his hand. And he'll spin around and he'll look at us and say, he'll look at me and say, hey, Justin, how's it going? But tonight, that chair is empty. And we're getting close to the holiday seasons, and that chair is going to be empty. And I remember every time we would leave his house, he'd say, son, be careful going out down there at that road. They lived on a kind of a bend, a curve on Stout Parkway. And it's just like that he was there, but he wasn't there. And we know one day we'll see him, but not only us tonight, but other families, maybe due to the COVID. And I know Brother Ceylon sent his brother, Brother John, on to heaven. Brother John's in heaven. We know Brother John really well. COVID complications, and so Brother Ceylon sent his brother on to heaven. And I know many others have sent some on to heaven. Whether it's COVID related or dementia or just something along the lines with the aging process, there is that empty seat at the table. And many times there's that empty seat because the death angel has come. And so David, he's talking about death here. He says there's but a step between me and death. And he recounts the times that Saul even tried to kill him. I just want to say tonight that although death is a for sure way for that seat to be empty, let us never fear death, especially if we know the Lord. But on the behalf of another, sending someone else on to heaven, let us not, we don't grieve, we don't weep, we're not upset like others that have no hope, but let us know that the Lord was there with them when they made their crossing. Psalm 23, verse number 4, talks about the valley of the shadow of death. Again, David said, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. And we know that David there was talking about the Lord being with him during trials. But if the Lord is going to be with us during trials, the Lord definitely will be with us during that transition from death unto life. Tonight we see that death was a reason. It was a reason why David's chair was empty. Some have made that step and went on to be with the Lord. Now there's that empty seat at the table. But please know, if you've lost a loved one, if you've sent one home to be with the Lord, just know this, that the Lord was with them. He was with them every step, every mile. He was with them in the transition. And he's with them, and they're with him now. I want to mention a second reason why I think that chair was empty. Not only due to death, but because division. That chair was empty. Division. Because of David's, listen to this, success. Because David had success in battle, Saul became envious. 1 Samuel 18. Notice if you would in verse number 6. Listen to this. And it came to pass as they came, when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, that the women came out of all the cities of Israel singing and dancing to meet King Saul with tabrets, with joy, and with instruments of music. Let me stop here for one moment and say this. Up until this point, David has been serving with Saul. If you go back and read chapter number 17, verse number 57, 58, and the beginning of this chapter, up till this point, things have been fine. Saul was the leader. Saul had David serving under him. But then came a little bit of praise more toward David's way. Listen to verse number 7. And the women answered one another as they played and said, Saul hath slain his thousands and David his 10,000. And Saul was very wroth, and the saying displeased him. And he said, they have ascribed unto David 10,000s. And to me they have ascribed but thousands. And what can he have more but the kingdom? And Saul eyed David from that time forward. You want to know the reason why that David's seat was empty at dinner that day? Was simply because of Saul in his envious eye. They started to sing the praises of David. They said, Saul has killed his thousands. And listen, they had musical instruments and tabrets and all those things, and they were making noise, and the women were saying, Saul had killed his thousands. Oh, but David, his 10,000s. And Saul became envious. Listen, it is sad. But sometimes in life, when you excel, when you achieve something, when you grow spiritually, when you achieve something, when you excel in life, sometimes instead of people blessing you and saying, attaboy, attagirl, they envy you. I mean, it's okay as long as you're, you know, right there with where they're at. And sometimes right there where they're at is a struggle. And sometimes people are at a place of struggle, and people are at a place of, well, I don't want to do enough work to get out, but I'm not going to lighten up enough to go back. I'm just going to stay in this rut. And, you know, we have friends, and people have friends that are in ruts. But once you decide to move on, and once you decide to get out, while we all should be here to congratulate one another and to say, attaboy, attagirl, that you're doing a great job. Truth be known tonight, many times people get jealous. People get envious. And that is a crying shame in the house of God, even in our world system tonight. We can expect that from the world system, but in the house of God, it shouldn't happen. But we have here someone who is getting praised for what he has done more than the other. And we know that Saul is now envious. And because of that, there is division between David and Saul. And it wasn't because of David's problem, or it wasn't because of David, it was because of Saul. But you know what? That seat was empty because of division. And how sad it is in our world that we live in, with all the things we put up with, and we all should be striving for betterment of self. How sad it is when people get envious, or when people get divisive, and there's division among brethren, there's division in the world, and some people that have used to sit in the pews and support their church and be there for their church, now they're not in their church. And even in the home, you'll find out that especially around the holidays, Thanksgiving and Christmas time, some people don't show up. It's because there's division there. This one don't like that one. This one's mad at that one because they're a little bit further along in life and prosperity or just maturity. But listen, as family, number one, as earthly family, we ought to be there and support one another and congratulate one another. As church family, we ought to be there to support one another and congratulate one another. But the truth be told tonight is that sometimes there's division, and because of that division, there are empty seats in our churches and around the dinner table at home. Let us not be people of division tonight, but let us be people of unity. Let us unify. You see someone that has gone from a place of struggle, or maybe they still might be in a place of struggle, but they've been making better steps in a better direction. Praise them for that. Thank God for that. Don't get jealous. Don't get envious because you're still struggling in that area and they're not struggling no more in that area. Praise the Lord for that. Give them an attaboy, an attagirl, because if we don't operate with that mentality and out of love, there'll be some empty seats in our lives. I want you to notice that because of David's success in battle, Saul became envious and tried to kill him. In verse number 9, we see this division started with jealousy, and Saul eyed David from that day forward. In verse number 10, in verse number 11, we see hatred and anger continued. In verse number 10, and it came to pass on the morrow that the evil spirit from God came upon Saul, and he prophesied in the midst of the house, and David played with his hand as at other times. And there was a javelin in Saul's hand. And Saul cast the javelin, for he said, I will smite David even to the wall with it. And David avoided out of his presence twice. That same account of the javelin. But what we see here, we see hatred and anger. And again, verse number 12. Well, let me just say, read verse 12. Verse number 13, we see malice. Verse 12, and Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him and was departed from Saul. Therefore, Saul removed him from him and made him his captain over 1,000. And he went out and came in before the people. Well, that's how it started. But then we read, and then verse number 25, we read a moment ago, we find out that Saul definitely was setting David up to be killed in battle. And so tonight we see that division can result in a missing seat at the table. Let me mention another thing, talking about David's empty seat. And we see that death is a reason for the empty seat. We see that division is a reason for the empty seat. But then, on a much better note, we see that duty is a reason for empty seats. Duty is. Think about it for a moment. David's chair ultimately was empty because of the plan of God that he had for David's life. David would soon be king. David would soon be leader. And so David wasn't in that chair because he was fulfilling God's plan. And in that plan, listen, there were times where he was on the run. There were times where he was a cave dweller in Adullam, we're getting ready to read. And there were times where the road was rocky and the road was rough. And if he had been at that dinner that night, maybe that javelin would have gotten him. But because of duty, he wasn't there. And I want to praise God tonight that empty seats is not always a result of bad things. Yes, death. Yes, division. But also because of duty, there's empty seats. There's empty seats in the church because of those who have answered the call of God. Because of missionaries who have left the church pew and went to foreign soil. Because of duty, it's a good thing sometimes to see empty seats. Because that means that the people of God are responding to God's purposes. I want to mention this. As David went on in the plan of God, being gone from his chair because of duty, he was going to be king one day. God desired for David to be a soldier and not a sitter. David would move on and he would soldier his way to the throne, all these obstacle courses. But I want you to notice something, that as David went soldiering on in God's purpose, that there were times where God reminded him of some things. Notice, if you would, in chapter number 21, in verse number 9, actually verse number 8, we have an account here when David needed a sword. He needed some artillery. And so in 1 Samuel 21, verse number 8, "And David said unto Ahimelech, And is there not here under thine hand spear or sword? For I have neither brought my sword nor my weapons with me, because the king's business required haste." David had to leave hastily, left all of his weapons behind. But in verse number 9, Ahimelech said this, "And the priest," Ahimelech said, "the sword of Goliath, the Philistine," listen to this, "whom thou slewest in the valley of Elah, behold, it is here wrapped in a cloth behind the ephod. If thou wilt take that, take it, for there is no other save that here. And David said, there is none like that, give it me. And David arose and fled that day for fear of Saul and went to Achish, the king of Gath." We know the story, but this is the picture I want to show you. Is that David, when he asked Ahimelech for some weaponry, he showed him a sword. Now David is on his way to the throne. David is working and soldiering through a lot of stuff. He was missing from his seat at dinner that day, but it was because of duty. and things were rough and things were choppy, and David needed a sword. So Ahimelech said, "Here is the sword that you used, David, to kill Goliath." How about that? You know what that is? That was God, through Ahimelech, reminding David that he was a giant killer. And while Saul may have been on his path, and while he may have dodged javelins all along the way, on his way to the king's throne to be king in Israel, he was soldiering and fighting his way through. He landed, he lighted upon a situation where God showed him the sword that he used to kill Goliath with. I want to say tonight, child of God, I want to say tonight, church of God, that while we soldier our way through this life, God has a way of reminding us what He can do in His power and His might. Listen, it's not because of us that we've killed or killed giants in life, so to speak. It's not because of us and our accomplishments as to why we're at where we're at serving or any kind of success, but it's because the Lord has smiled on us. It's because of the Lord's power. And every once in a while, God will remind us that He has used us. He has defeated giants in our life. And if we will just continue on down the pilgrim's pathway, God will kill future giants. Talking about David's empty seat. And sometimes there's empty seats because of duty. Because of just plain out serving the Lord in obedience, answering His call, being all that we can be for Jesus. We soldier our way through this life, and God enables us to achieve. But you see, God wanted to remind David that day, as a soldier, what he did in the past through him. And we know that David armed himself with that trophy of grace, that sword. Listen, church, you may be soldiering your way through this wilderness. You may have good days and bad days. We all do. And sometimes you may feel like you can't go one step forward. Sometimes you feel like that this giant in front of you, this situation that is running over on both sides, is going to get you. What you need to do is just look back and all the giants that God has killed in your life. Just look how far God has brought you from. And if you look in the rear view, you can continue on straightly serving the Lord, knowing that it is the Lord's battle, and He will yet give you another trophy of grace. Because that's what He did for David, and that's what He wants to do for us. We are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. And so we see that there was a sword here. And God allowed David to come in contact with Ahimelech for this very purpose. Look again in verse number 9. And the priest said, "The sword of Goliath, the Philistine, whom thou slewest in the valley of Elah." We know he used that sword to cut his head off. We know it was a stone that he hit him in the head with. This sword was a trophy of grace. Let us continue on. Let us answer the call of God. Listen, the call of God is as simple as being a responsible adult. The call of God is as simple as being a faithful husband, a faithful father to your children, a faithful church member by way of Facebook Live or in person. That's the call of God. Let us continue to be faithful to that call. We know that God will equip us. Chapter number 22, notice this in verse number 1 and 2. God also reminded, or God used David's roughness as he was on his way to the throne. God used his roughness in life to be a help to others as he was out of that chair because of duty. Look at chapter 22, verse 1. David therefore departed thence and escaped to the cave Adullam. And when his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they went down thither to him. And everyone that was, listen to this, in distress, and everyone that was in debt, and everyone that was discontented, gathered themselves unto him. Who's him? David. And he, who's he? David. And he became a captain over them. How about that? And there were with him about 400 men. What a blessing tonight. You see, there was this remnant of those that were in distress and those that were in debt and those that were discontented. But here comes David. They heard about David's battle with Goliath. They heard about David fleeing and dodging the javelins and running from Saul, but yet running and having safety and getting refuge within God. And they heard about David being a hero. They heard about the women saying, Saul has killed his thousands, but David is 10,000s. These people that were defeated and discouraged and depressed in this cave, they heard about these things. And so when David came on the scene, they gravitated toward him because they knew that David had been there. They knew that David had some experience with life. They knew that David has been through the valleys of life. He has almost tasted death. He's dodged javelins. And so when they knew that David was there, they came there. They gravitated toward him. He was their captain. He was their mentor. He was the one in charge, not because he was prideful or had a big head, but because he knew what it was like. He knew what it was like to be in distress. He knew what it was like to be discontented and being in a place of unease in life. And David knew all of these things. And the people knew he knew all these things. And so they gravitated toward him. I want to say that the call of God will get us up off of our hiney and get us moving and working for him. And as we do that, we gain experience. We're soldiering our way through life. We're jumping over walls. We're running through troops. We're gaining experience. God is teaching our hands to war and our fingers to fight because there's someone out there that needs your help. And God wants to use you to be a help to them because you now have experience. Praise the Lord tonight for the call of duty and how that at times, I guarantee you the time that David was fighting with Goliath, he didn't know later in life there was going to be some men that gravitated toward him off of his victory. And I'll back up and go a little bit before that. When David was a shepherd boy, and the bear, and the lion, David had no idea. Later in life, there would be a group of people that heard that story, how he survived. And David had no idea at the time. You tonight may be in the deepest, darkest valley where there are lions, tigers, and bears, and giants. You may not be able to see the big picture, but know this, that God is moving you and progressing you toward your purpose in life. And listen, we need that experience because there's somebody down the way that's going to need to lean on you. So we see that David was, he escaped to the cave of Adullam. And when they found out those in verse number 2 that were in distress, debt, discontented, when they found out, everyone that was discontented gathered themselves unto him. I want to encourage you tonight, child of God. I want to encourage you tonight, church, that what you're going through, if you know Jesus, what you're going through, he is using that for a bigger picture, a bigger purpose. There is some kind of skill you're learning right now, whether it's protecting the sheep from lions and bears, whether it's trying to knock down some giant in your life, the giant of perversion, the giant of alcohol, the giant of laziness, the giant of something in your life. You're battling it. But listen, that is needful for your skill set to be used by God. Keep on facing the giants. Keep on battling them. Keep on moving ahead. Keep on soldiering forward. Because there are some people that's watching you that knows you have the experience and knows they'll benefit. Those people know they'll benefit from being around you. And so again, David's seat was empty. And Jonathan said, I'm going to miss you, David, because your seat will be empty. And so David was gone. And church, in conclusion tonight, I want to say that sometimes it's death that makes that seat that was once full vacant. Sometimes it's death. Other times there's empty seats because of division, like Saul and David. But then praise the Lord for that last one. Sometimes there's empty seats because of duty. Because of duty. And God has a way, as we answer His call and we're active and we move and progress forward with Him, He has a way of reminding us that He'll defeat the giants in our life. He has a way of allowing people to gravitate toward us from the battles we've been in, and He uses that. Tonight, there's many times, in fact, let me just say this, and I'll close, we'll give an invitation virtually. About this time every year, I try to, as we get into the holidays, mention this subject about the empty chair, the empty seat, because of those who have lost loved ones, sent them on to heaven. You know, most of the time the whole world is getting ready to celebrate Thanksgiving and Christmas and, you know, not a care in the world. And sometimes it's easy to overlook those who've been at the cemetery. And sometimes it's easy to overlook those who will be at the cemetery on Thanksgiving and Christmas. So we try to mention this every year. But tonight, just in a little different light, death, division, but also duty can be the reason for the empty chair. Father, we love You tonight. We thank You. We praise You. Thank You for Your presence tonight. I truly believe that, Father, the message was to be presented. Someone needed to hear something. I know I preached hope to my own heart tonight. Thank You for Your truths. And Lord, I pray that You'll move virtually, spiritually during this time of invitation. In Jesus' name, amen.